Welcome to Bunch. I'm Claire Sutcliffe and I've been building and leading communities for over 15 years. I'm fascinated by the concept of community-led growth, so I'm on a journey to meet the innovators who are building communities to grow their business. This episode of Bunch is sponsored by Cause.io, a community reward and motivation tool to boost your company's growth. More information in the show notes. Hello and welcome to Bunch. My guest this week is Sophia Ilias, Chief Community Officer at Beatport. And we love when community leaders have chief in their title. That is excellent. Welcome, Sophia.
Oh, thank you.
So, Sophia, could you start off by telling us a bit about Beatport and then more about how your community supports Beatport's efforts?
Yeah, sure. Beatport really serves the DJ and producer community. It's a lot more than just a streaming service or a download service. We're very involved with our customers, with record labels, etc. It's very hands-on. And I think our community sits across a lot of different segments, such as the record labels and artists that we work with. But I'd say that, you know, Beatport really represents the pulse of electronic music. And it's a very personal approach to that genre of music as well. And it's a home for all the DJs and producers to kind of own.
Amazing. I mean, no offense to all my previous guests, but you're probably the coolest one.
Thank you.
I've ever had on Bunch. The industry that you serve is, I just think, achingly cool. So let's dive a bit more into that. How do you work with record labels? How are you working with the artists?
Yeah, I mean, with record labels, we're really helping them with, you know, the releases that they're wanting to submit on the platform, helping give them guidance as to how they can get, you know, more exposure via our platform. For example, we have DJ charts, we have an editorial site. There's lots of ways that we can help amplify that music. So it's really providing them as much guidance as possible. Things don't always work that way in the music industry. Things do tend to kind of happen last minute sometimes, or a release suddenly comes up. And we've got a very hands-on team. It's not, you know, all done via computer, etc. It's a very one-to-one team. Like, you email somebody, your account manager, and they're getting back to you and they're helping you out if you've got this last minute release you're trying to get exposure on. And then we've got our actual customer community who are downloading the music as well. And they also have the ability to have their own DJ chart showcased as well. So it's a very, I'd say, hands-on approach. I mean, our listeners, what's so interesting about it in our ecosystem is you could be somebody who's listening and downloading the music, and you've got the ability to then end up being a DJ who ends up being on the charts. You know, like, that's what we see all the time. We see people who are starting off into DJing and then eventually become huge DJs on the platform. And I think that's what makes the platform also quite special, is that when you're on there, you feel connected, you feel you've got a home for yourself as a DJ, and you've got a really, really strong potential to be exposed and become a successful DJ too.
Okay, so it's quite a fluid ecosystem.
Yeah, I would say so. It's something that is not just a service provider where you're buying a tool and off you go and you DJ and that's your only connection to it. I'd say it's a lot more of a warmer connection and the ability to, yeah, become a big known DJ through the platform as well.
And what features or elements of Beatport do you think help create that feeling of belonging and, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but maybe acceptance into that kind of community as a listener?
Yeah, I think the fact that we have our creation team, you know, it's a huge team and they're constantly looking at each genre and they're putting together what they think are the best tracks of the month. And they're also choosing DJ charts and they're including music in there as well. So it's a very, again, hands-on approach. So we have us, you know, our charts that reflect the sales, but then we also have the charts which are curated by our curation team. So, you know, you could be a pretty unknown artist, but you could still be featured in our, say, for example, melodic techno chart or house chart. I think that's what's really exciting for our community, that it isn't that you need to have these huge sales to be noticed and featured, that we actually have a team that's constantly on the lookout for new music. And they're very much going on the basis of, is this a particular sound we want to showcase, etc., rather than how big is this artist? What is their profile like? You know, if the music is liked, we're going to want to support it and showcase it.
Okay. And so is that team working with you specifically?
No. So how it works is there's a whole team that looks after, you know, we have a marketing team, we have a curation team, we have a product team. My department's completely new. It's something that was driven by the staff as well. The staff very, very much wanted this department to exist. So as I'd already mentioned that, you know, we really service our artists well, we service our record labels well. Where there was a bit of a gap was organizations that are attached to the music community and a real push towards diversity as well. A lot of our staff members, all of our staff members are music fans, but many of them are also DJs themselves. And they were all really, really passionate about the fact that they wanted somebody to lead on diversity. And it was something that they really felt that there was a gap in, our company. And it was, amazing that the CEO not only recognized that, but was willing to say, actually, this department should be a C-suite role as well. I started the department just over 6 months ago. Grace is in my team now as well. And it's a very, it's always been a focus of Beatport as, you know, with diversity, but now to have somebody specifically leading that is provided a lot of comfort and support to all those organizations out there. Many of them are volunteer led and they're really trying to champion diversity. And they were really looking for a support. And yeah, now I'm here and everyone's like, yeah, we've got Sophia to talk to. And, you know, I'm able to really put them at the forefront and really think about ways that we can engage them, because previously we didn't really have that. You know, a DJ chart didn't necessarily showcase an organization that's doing great work. So I feel so fortunate that I've been able to join and create these new tools and ways for these organizations that are doing really, really great work in the music industry and is really, really needed, because the electronic music scene, unfortunately, continues to be very male led. And that's something that Beatport really want to be part of changing.
Cool. Can you tell us like how you've been working with some of these partners?
Yeah. So, I mean, for example, I spoke to quite a few organizations, and a lot of them expressed that they would like to have more spaces where they can come and really hold conversation and have very thoughtful conversation and honest and open conversation. So in August, I launched a panel series. So for example, tomorrow we have one with a collective called Love Child, and they're going to come in and they're going to have a conversation around trans awareness. And the great thing about that is that, you know, we're recording it, it goes out to our DJ community, they can hear it. And we're also giving a platform to the organization. So they come into our office, we provide the drinks and the setup and the scene, we help them with the artwork, we put it out there. And we've got, our office probably holds 50 people, and we're probably going to get a lot more than that in there tomorrow. But, you know, someone like a Love Child would express that they didn't feel like they had a space that they could go before to talk about it and express to people, you know, what does it mean to be trans? Like, I, for example, don't know a lot about the trans community. I'd love to learn more. So for me, it's so exciting that collective's going to come into the office and talk about that. Last month, we had three amazing Black female artists to talk about, you know, what it means to them to be a Black woman in the music industry and the challenges that they face. So that's just an example of being able to give a platform to voices that really need to be heard, but not giving them a platform amongst a ton of other content and they get buried and it gets lost. This is a very specific evening for them to be heard and to be listened to. And the same thing that we did with our Diversity and Parity Fund, which we launched in, I think it was August this year. It's $150,000 in total. We've awarded 6 recipients. And it's not just a sort of a fund exchange. We also provide them exposure, marketing support, ongoing sort of mentoring as well. And that's been incredible, because just by engaging with these organizations, I'm learning so much as well. I'm learning how so many of them are volunteer-led. So many of them are exhausted. They don't really have the funds to even pay a lot of their staff members. And they're constantly in a very, how would you say, really difficult position where they're constantly having to apply for fund. So they're always under stress and they feel really unsupported. So like even now I'm thinking, oh, wow, even amongst the 6 that I'm talking to, how do I get them to communicate with each other more and, you know, learn from each other more? And then there's the other 140 that applied that although we didn't fund, for example, we've got 2 of them hosting panels at the office next year. So how I see it is like there's all these organizations that really feel like diversity is just being left to them. And as I said, a lot of them are volunteer led and they're just exhausted. They really, really are. And if we can help and support them and bring in, you know, skill sets that they don't may not have, even if it's graphic design, with a few of them, it's been going through their budget sheets and giving them advice on, you know, moving a few things around to help with their calculations. So I think that's exactly the kind of thing that my department wants to continue doing, is be use the basically the exposure that Beatport can give to the record labels and to artists, and bring diversity over to that audience, and say to record labels like, hey, by the way, you know, how does diversity look like in your label? Is that something you'd like support on? This is what we can do. So eventually how I see it is that in a year's time, I would love to start passing on education to the labels, because we engage with over 60,000 labels. Like, imagine if we're not just, hey, we're taking your music, but we're like, hey, look at this bit of education that we can help you on to help you also have a more diverse lineup. I think that's, for me, like how the whole ecosystem will work around diversity. That's like my overall vision with it. But at the moment, my focus is very, very much on the organizations themselves and the collectives that are out there.
So I'm just thinking that actually Beatport could have a really important role to play in exposing DJs from underrepresented backgrounds back to the record labels to help them present a more diversified set of artists. Is that part of the plan?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, our team will always focus on diversity, for sure. But, you know, I think what I want to do is really learn from these organizations and give them the voice. Like, that's what they live and breathe, and sort of connect these organizations with the labels. And, you know, because, you know, I've spoken to a few labels and they'll admit they don't have a diverse lineup, but they're embarrassed to admit it, and they don't know how to change it necessarily. You know, they're like, oh, I'm just used to signing. I've just always signed a man who then knows another man, and I'm not doing it on purpose, you know. And I do want to find more women maybe in this like instrumental electronic scene, but there doesn't seem to be many women. What do I do? Where do I go? And, you know, a lot of labels, especially the underground labels, they're very also understaffed and also exhausted and tired. And it's like, you know, it's not necessarily that they're doing it on purpose either.
But they're also not rectifying it on purpose either.
Yes, that's true. That is true. So I think what I want to do is create a safe space so no one feels like, you know, we're pointing the finger, etc. It's more like, hey, I'm sure you recognize this too. How can we work together? And here's some great hints and tips, and here's organizations that can help support you, and etc., etc. So as I said, for now, the focus is very much, I really want to learn from all the organizations. I really want to learn how to support them better, and then eventually then move that all over to the record labels. And that could be an educational hub or a space that record labels can go and learn from, and our staff can learn from, and artists can learn from. Like, how can we all be mindful and encourage diversity? Because it's not just a numbers thing, it's also a mindset. So yeah, I'm hoping just to learn myself and absorb all this knowledge, and then, you know, work with the collectives on how to pass that knowledge on to all these labels. And like you say, Beatport's in a very special position that it's sort of in the middle, and then there's the labels and the artists and the music. Like, for example, we've got millions of followers who follow our Instagram who aren't necessarily our customers. They're just music fans and they really enjoy our content. It's like, oh, well, we've got them too. So we've got these amazing groups going on, and it's like, wow, how do we insert diversity into that? So it's quite exciting, I think.
Yeah, you have a very valuable, special, prized role, I think, in being a connector between those three groups, between the organizations, your listeners, and your record labels, who, as you say, people could move between all of those groups. To what extent does building connection between the listeners and the listeners and the organizations and the listeners and the record labels, to what extent does building that connection currently happen? And what kind of results do you see from that?
Between organizations and record labels?
Yeah, or between listeners and other listeners. Like, how are people communicating through the tooling that Beatport provides?
Yeah, I would say right now it's very much focused on, I've got a music release, I need support on my music release, and, you know, that kind of side of it, so kind of marketing support, I don't think that we're really communicating anything outside of that at the moment. But the fact that the ecosystem exists and there's an ecosystem of like direct communications, like, for example, the record labels are constantly coming into our office. And that's why I was like, oh, wait, why don't we do a panel? And then they can come listen to a panel too at the same time and not just talk to us about their next album that they've got coming out. I think that's also another side of it as well, that in the, historically we have focused or lean more towards editorial that we put out that talks about their new album. But imagine if we could sit to an artist and say, hey, I saw you doing this amazing work where you talk about mental health. Why don't you come and talk to us about that and talk to other DJs about that? So I think that's another side of it as well, is giving DJs a platform. But I think in order to do that, they need to first see that there's a platform that exists, that it's safe, that they can talk about this. And I think that's what I'd like to champion. I'd like to build a space where they can come and feel comfortable and they don't have to always talk about, I've got a new album out. If they've got something else they'd like to talk about, like, for example, what is it like to be pregnant and be a DJ, you know, and be on the stage? And, you know, how does that feel for you? I'd love to instigate, I'd say, more deeper and meaningful conversations with our DJs. So, yeah, it's going from the collectives to then the DJs. And then again, even to record labels, like what's the pressures on a record label? And, you know, how do you think about hiring women into labels? And that's another thing in itself. You know, like there's diversity in, you know, in terms of DJs, but then what about diversity in terms of staff as well? So there's lots of things to handle and tackle. So that's why I'm like, okay, let's focus on the communities first. I feel like they need the support first, and then I can move on to record labels and, you know, other things.
Yeah. So we were speaking before about how Beatport's community has quite a different purpose to the kind of community leaders, communities that we've had on previously on Bunch, which kind of do SaaS, either B2B or B2C, or kind of marketplace type models. Beatport's community seems to be a lot more about building a supportive community around the ecosystem to help the ecosystem be more successful. Can you tell me a bit about what the industry reaction has been to the work that you're doing, or how you see the community efforts helping Beatport, the company?
Yeah, sure. You know, for example, our first panel, we brought together E1 Club, Fabric and Fold, you know, three quite different clubs, but three of the major clubs in London. And then the first thing I asked them, because I was hosting the panel on that day, was, how often do you hang out together in a room? And they're like, never. Like, we never come together. And I was like, but why not? You know, why wouldn't you? And they're like, actually, we don't know why we don't. But it was great just to have these three clubs in the room and just having a, you know, a nice conversation with each other and our DJ community to hear from them as well, because they were talking about what it's like to, you know, how does a DJ get, you know, attention of a club, which is quite a popular topic for DJs, but then also, you know, what are they doing about diversity as well? Recently I was at ADE Festival, which is like a 400,000 people festival in Amsterdam. It's a really major music, electronic music conference and shows. And at the conference, I bumped into so many people that had been on our panels. I was like, oh, you were on our panel. And immediately I felt a sense of community, you know, and I was like, oh, yeah, you spoke about this. And it was just such a nice feeling. And Mariana, who looks after our label, she said, oh, so many labels I spoke to said they really enjoyed attending the panels. So immediately just through the panels, like, I've already been sensing a sense of community where the labels have seen us offer them something different, and they've really engaged with it as well. Like, we always have around, you know, 40 to 50 people attend the panels. Our staff can attend the panels as well. And that's another thing. It's been offering our staff something different as well, beyond what they're used to engaging with as well. So I think, yeah, the activities are already giving a sense of community. And then also at the festival, I bumped into a few of our recipients. I bumped into people saying, oh my God, you know, you supported Saffron. That's so good. They really need the funds, etc. So yeah, you really felt like a sense of togetherness. And soon as you've got people into your ecosystem, it's mad how many connections just suddenly exist. And you're like, oh, wait, you from the club, can we do our next like Beatport party at your club? Yeah, we can. Okay, great. And all of a sudden you've got a community easily within 6 months. Like, that's how I felt. I felt like I've gone from no community, and within 6 months, a community that was already there. It just wasn't necessarily connected in a way outside of like the typical e-commerce type of environment. So yeah, I would say I describe it as very warm, very face-to-face, you know. And I have to say, like, even when we've had our pre-discussions with the panelists, some of them have been so amazing. I wish they'd been podcasts, you know, just chatting to them, introducing them. That's another thing as well, like introducing the different panelists to each other as well. They're like, oh, I know you, I'm a fan of yours. And, you know, and they're buzzing off each other and they're like, oh, we've been brought together to talk about this really interesting topic. That's so cool. And so, you know, I can feel it. You know, you get a sense of it. You can feel it. It's not necessarily figures or something you can put down, you know, on a spreadsheet, but you definitely feel, you get a sense of it when you walk around London and, you know, you bump into people, you're at a club and you're like, oh yeah, it's you. And that's what I'm trying to bring to Beatport, because Beatport's quite a big company within the music industry. And I want it to show people the intimate side of it and the real human side of it, and show them that, yeah, like all these amazing people, they speak on emails, like come by the office, enjoy a panel, have a drink, come hang out. So I'm definitely already seeing the impacts, to the point that I'm like now moving to LA in January to be with our team there. So I can already start doing things in LA. I'm already thinking about an event in Melbourne. What are we going to do in New York? And it's like, I can now take these tools, like, for example, like an amazing collective in Berlin saw our panels and they're like, hey, can we partner with you? And can you be our partner for our Black History Month panel in February? And we're like, well, of course, because a lot of these organizations are really looking for that marketing support that we can offer them. And it's like amazing. Now I can invite all the Berlin labels to this panel. It's all just kind of coming together and happening very fast, you know? So yeah, it's all very exciting.
That's the sign of success, I think, when people just want to be part of your community so quickly and are really excited about it, sort of actively asking to be part of it, is a star, 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 star. So to what extent do the leadership at Beatport see the community efforts directly impacting like the bottom line? Do they give you goals around stuff, or is it just too new for that at the moment?
No, I think, you know, we'll definitely measure the sentiment amongst our staff. And I think that's the most impactful thing, is measuring how our staff feel that they're being cared for and the community that they and the organizations they really care for are being looked after. Like I, you know, constantly receive emails from staff members saying, oh, I saw you're doing this and this is so good and I'm so happy you're here now and I'm so happy diversity is a focus. So I think it does impact the bottom line, because many reports prove that it does, that when companies really focus on diversity, it does, because our staff and underrepresented groups feel cared for. If you've got a company and you're trying to bring in people of more diverse backgrounds, you have to think about the environment that they're coming into. And if they now join Beatport, they're going to see a really authentic push towards diversity, and they're going to feel very safe in the company as well. And I think, you know, myself, like I'm a Pakistani woman, there's really not many of us in the music industry. And for Beatport to give me the position that they've given, I think a lot of the staff members are like so impressed by that. And so pleased that there's someone focused. So I'm sure if you did some sentiment survey, you would see a lot more positivity then coming out of staff members, that it's going to impact their work. For example, like the Berlin panel that we're looking at now, all the staff in Berlin are so excited about it. They've got something that's going to happen in their region that they can invite their labels to. Inevitably, like from my understanding, all the research shows that positive community activities do impact the bottom line, because staff feel more involved and, you know, positive about the activities that you're doing. And they feel a sense of sort of belonging within the company as well. So I definitely see that with the staff members, the ones who come to the panels, who really enjoy them, who really feel like we actually are doing something. You know, it's not just a one-off diversity campaign that we do only on, you know, Black History Month, etc. Like we're wanting to care about these things ongoingly. So I would say inevitably that's going to impact the bottom line positively, because the staff feel, you know, positive about it.
Yeah. And to what extent do you think it affects the record labels and your sort of paying customers, that they might think more positively of you or might do more business with you? I don't quite know how Beatport like makes its revenue. So maybe you could explain that a little bit.
Yeah, our revenue definitely comes via our labels, you know, and our distributors, I would say. So a distributor is slightly different to a label. It's like distributing music, where all the labels go to that one place. So I would say, in terms of the financial side, I would say, you know, all those minority led labels out there will feel like there's a home for them where they can be heard and seen and protected at Beatport. So I'd say that's the most important thing that we would be doing. And in terms of the bigger labels, I would say the impact is more helping them to have more diversity on their label. I think there would be a positive sentiment towards Beatport that we care and that we're focusing on this and we're helping them, and they would feel like there's a home and an example being presented to them of what they can also do. Because a label might see what we're doing and go, oh, we could host an event at our label, etc. But in terms of money generating, I wouldn't know if they're going to spend more with us. I don't think that's the target of what I'm doing, but I would say I would hope for more engagement. So the label's thinking, oh, wow, it's not just about this album that I've got out from this artist. This artist actually really cares about a really important cause in their community, and Beatport are willing to expose that too. So I think it would be more of an engaged relationship than just only talking to them when there's an album coming out.
Got you. So thinking about communities outside of Beatport, what sort of brand communities or communities that are attached to businesses, which ones do you like personally like or get involved with or admire?
I would say women's football is something I hugely admire. I think, you know, if you just look at it from the outside, you're like, whoa, it was an overnight success. One minute it wasn't happening, and the next minute suddenly this, you know, the women's team are selling out Wembley. It didn't happen overnight. It was a very focused thing of the Football Association that they really wanted this to happen. At any point, we could have all brought a ticket if we wanted to for women's football, but we didn't. For whatever reason, we didn't. But an ongoing effort, and I think that's the thing, you can't correct diversity in a night. It's not a campaign. It's not a quick thing. But women's football has been ongoing, and there's been an ongoing financial support, supporting education, supporting young women to feel like there's a home. The overlap between also, you know, more female presenters. There's been all these things that have contributed to now women's football thriving. And I think for me, that's a huge, amazing, positive example. Like, I'll be honest, I never thought it would happen in my lifetime that women's football would have that much success. And the fact that it has is just incredible. Like, I'm just so happy that it's thriving, and I think it'll keep going and it'll keep thriving. And I, you know, it's the first time I'm hearing even friends of mine who aren't even that into football going, oh, I think I might buy a ticket, you know, go to see, you know, some women play. And that's been incredible. So I think for me, like, I really admire what's happened there in football, because that was not a one-off marketing campaign or anything like that. It was like an ongoing effort, and finally it clicked. So that's something that I always look at that I really, really find, for me, really inspires me.
Yeah, that's a great story. Also, love that the women's football team in England, at least, is a lot better than the men's. So personally enjoy that, and took my kiddie to watch England win the Euros.
Oh, really?
Which was a lot of fun. Yeah, I mean, she was only little. She had no idea what was going on, but I love that she was there anyway. So the last section of our podcast is all about your advice, Sophia. So I'd love to hear from you what you think are the most important two bits of advice that you could give people who are building communities that are connected to a business in some way. So whether that's like a tip and like a watch out, some people combine the two. So up to you. What do you think are the two most important pieces of advice you could give?
I would say, don't think of community as a campaign or a one-off marketing thing that you do. Think about it in a way that it's an ongoing effort. It's a change of a mindset. It's just an ongoing effort that you instill into everybody. Community is all of us. Like, it's not just on me to solve diversity. Like, it's all of us, like, making it part of our, you know, daily thinking and our daily action. So I would say, yeah, don't think of community as just this thing you want to do in a way that, yeah, you're thinking about that great marketing campaign, that great viral moment. If you want genuine community, then start by listening to the community and really understand what it is that they would like from you. And start with listening first. And yeah, don't ignore real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the real people out there. Like, you look at these like night campaigns that are doing really well. They're doing well because they show real London, and they show grime artists and hip hop artists and footballers and da da. And I think that's what resonates to people the most, you know, the people that are next to them, the people that are in the high street. So I would say, yeah, you know, put aside your fancy marketing campaigns and just connect with real people, you know, start talking to people in your own high street, you know, like next time you're in a shop, just strike up a conversation and say, hey, how are you? How are things going? You'll learn a lot more that way than you will through some data. Sorry, analytics people.
Yes, sorry, analytics people. So you're saying be curious about the people who are in your potential community that you're trying to reach, and that building a community is playing the long game. This is not a quick win.
Yes, that's what I would say.
Yeah. Thank you for delivering that excellent advice. Thank you so much, Sophia. It has been fascinating learning about the Beatport community. And I mean, I wish I was cool enough to have been to a nightclub recently. Unfortunately not. But I am very happy that that whole community has you working so hard to bring new members to it and to help people succeed.
Amazing. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, give us a nice juicy rating so more people can find us. And if you haven't already, then subscribe to Bunch wherever you get your podcasts. See you next week.